Now the next samskaras, the upanayanam, when they basically when they're ready to leave the house. Now, before upanayanam, after the haircutting ceremony, you have what's called the vidyaramba, where they start learning. So that's they start learning their alphabets, their numbers, these kind of things. But they still will be at the house, mm-hmm. like that. Then when they take upanayanam, that's the time. Then they go and then they live at the house of the teacher, mm-hmm. like that. Before that, they may be in their own house and they'll study and all these things. Then, so here it mentions 36. In the eighth year after conception, one should perform the initiation, upanayanam, of a brahmana. In the 11th year, 11th after conception, that of a kshatriya. But the 12th year, that of a vaishya. So now this is just general rule, mm-hmm. like that. Because this is taking into consideration that, you know, for those who are, you know, just attached to the children, they're attached to, you know, material facility and the fruitive, more the karma side is more the main, like that. And then the next verse is that for those who are more interested in the spiritual understanding, like that. Then, the initiation of a Brahman who desires proficiency in sacred learning should take place in the fifth year after conception. That of a Kshatriya who wishes to become powerful in the sixth, and that of a Vaishya who longs for success in his business in the eighth. In other words, they will have much more understanding mm-hmm. of the Shastra. Means this other one means they'll go, they'll learn the Veda, and they'll learn, you know, the basic behavior and all that. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, see, is by the time the child in the seventh year kind of like establishes his likes and dislikes. Mm-hmm. Up to that, he has his likes and dislikes, but they're not really fixed. There's something you can change quite easily. But they just do it, you know, totally just the senses, you know. But after the seventh, it's kind of a little bit conscious that they like this better or that or this. When you see a child at young age, if you take him to a new country and the language change, the environment, the food, everything, he doesn't really notice. He may have liked the other thing, but in a couple of weeks he forgets anyway, mm-hmm. you know. Like that. That's not significant. So then the earlier they go to the Gurukul, then the less of this conditioning they have. Mm-hmm. And then they are able to take care. Now here it's saying after conception. Mm-hmm. Now eighth year after take place in the fifth year after conception.
I have a question. Huh. It seems like they're judging age, counting age
from conception. Yeah. This means notice that they're only talking about Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, mm-hmm. because Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya performs Garbhadhan. Mm-hmm. Like that. It means everybody can do, but it's like they have to do. Shudra can do. It means, you know, it's best if they do. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, it won't be looked at that badly. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you want someone of a more refined character who has more interest in the Shastra and basing their life on the principles of the Shastra, one has to do Garbhadhan. Otherwise, such a soul is not really interested to come. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Like that. So then, like you see, is those who haven't gone to the Garbhadhan, is that it's they come and you know they get frustrated with material nature, like that, and then they turn to look for some alternatives. Mm-hmm. But this is we're talking about a child who from the beginning is interested in the proper culture and all that. Mm-hmm. So then one needs to go through the Garbhadhan. So this means that it's planned, and they all know. You know, they know the time, like that.
I've heard there's two ways of determining a chart. One is from time of birth, and the other is from the time of Garbhadhan.
Yes. So Garbhadhan is also. Is there any? How much? You can. Is there any difference in one or the other? You don't know. Okay. But as far as I know, is you can use either or use both. Mm-hmm. You know, and then with both of them read and like that. Mm-hmm. So if you can get that. But generally, you see in the you know common world, no one knows because it's all just based on lust, you know, when, like that. But the Vedic, it was planned, so you would choose a time, months away, so the focus becomes, like Bhagavatam's talking about that, you know, the focus becomes on that time. And then as the time comes, then, you know, the wife becomes looking more beautiful to the husband and all these different things, you know, it's all... Because, so, you're not going to forget that time very easily. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, it would be very common that, you know, that time you would already make the chart and see what kind of qualities the kid will have and if that matches what you were looking for. Mm-hmm. It means you, it means the basic step is you just do the Garbhodan ceremony. You know, mm. Better than more planned than that means that you pick a you choose an auspicious time and you know you work out all the days and everything like that. You know this whole even and odds for boys, girls, and all these different things like that. Then more than that is one would check that. I mean, then more than that is you would plan what kind of child you want. So that fixes the parent's mind even more. Mm. And then more than that would be that they would actually make the check, that means they chose the time, they would check the charts and see if that brings out the nature that they want. You know, it may be they've chosen a time, it'll make an excellent kshatriya, but they wanted a Brahmin. So then they should look again for the next, you know, auspicious times and just see what will be suitable for that. So like that, it just matters how much you want to put into it. How much do you want to manifest? You know, Krishna says, you know, that sex according to religious principles, then he is that. Mm-hmm. So how much you want Krishna to manifest in this? Mm-hmm. So the more you take it, the more it'll be, like, manifest. Mm-hmm. You know? So like that. It's, you know, it's very much up to the individuals. So.
2014 will be 8 planets in exaltation.
2014 there'll be
8 planets in exaltation. So whoever is born at that time, like Superman,
yeah,
Mahapurush,
born or conceived at that time. Seems that it's easier to conceive at a specific time than to be born at a specific time. That's more potluck, you know, because sometimes they just don't. They don't comply, you know. Yeah. They're born a few months early, or they stick around till Sukadeva just. 18
years.
It's all Brahman, so it's Brahman inside and it's Brahman outside, so why bother endeavoring to change the situation? You know? Could you imagine? His mother.
You sound like Bimala, 18 years old.
Yeah, it would be pretty wild. Plus, could you imagine being interested in eating Shrikant with, you know, mango achar for 18 years or something? Okay. So here is, but now the nature is very much seen. We see that the Brahman, because by nature is more detached. The Kshatriya is also quite detached, but a little bit more attached. He needs a little bit more time. Okay. The Vaishya is more than that. You see the difference is much here. It means if they're just talking in the material platform, we see the Brahman is on the 8th, then the Kshatriya in the 11th, and the Vaishya in the 12th. So materially, then there's not a whole lot of difference between the Vaishya and the Kshatriya. Like that. But if we're talking they want to be spiritually proficient and you know then in this way become powerful in their various areas, then we see the Kshatriya and the Brahman are closer, and then the Vaishya is a little bit more apart. You can bring the Vaishya up a bit, but not as much, mm-hmm. like that. So this is after conception. So it says take place in the fifth year after conception. That's someplace, you know, you find an auspicious time and you see the nature of the child, you know. Like this also is very much on the child. The child, it may be you want that, but the thing is you also have to see if the child is ready for that. Mm-hmm. So in other words, the closest to that means, you know, probably depends. If he's very exceptional, it may be near to the beginning of his fourth year, but it means after birth. But otherwise, it'll be near the middle or the end, you know, just on the how you say, the Sunday or in India, I mean in English, the cusp of between the fourth and fifth year, mm-hmm. like that. So then, but you have up to the eighth, you know, like that means the seventh year. So somewhere in the fourth, so it depends on the child very much. If you mm-hmm. see he's still not very mature at all, or like that, then you'll leave it mm-hmm. until you see that there's some maturity. But this means that the parents are trying to prepare him in this way. Mm-hmm. They've already talked about it. They deal with the child very straightforward, you know, like that. The, you know, the affection is very strong, but it's also very controlled. Mm-hmm. You know, so it creates that control in the child. You know, it's not. It means there's purpose to their the emotion. It's not just they just do foolish things. You know, like that. But it's very serious. Like that. Kshatriya then a little less than that. Vaishya less than that. So here. So that. Yeah. So we see here is also is by starting earlier, then the Brahmin becomes, you know, most proficient in the learning. And we see, means that's his ability. Means all this is for that there's more interest in coming to the understanding of the conclusions of the Veda. Mm. Like that, by coming earlier. If one's not interested in the conclusion, one just wants to know the Veda and then in this way be qualified for doing one's activity, then one may choose the later if the attachment is there. You know, Vaishya is quite attached, so only when the child's 11 then they will. But we see that all of these is before they hit puberty. Mm-hmm. Like that. But we see that if they stay in the house longer, there's going to be more of a taste for these material kind of dealing and everything. The attachments in the home will be much stronger. Mm-hmm. Like that. But now, so if they want that, come to understand the conclusions of the scriptures, then they go earlier. Then, because of that, then the Brahmin becomes more proficient in his learning. One, he has more time to study more. Two, he actually, proficiency is, you can look at it from the level of just the actual knowledge or the understanding, right? So we here it would be from the understanding he becomes more proficient in the knowledge. The Kshatriya becomes more powerful because now he's more fixed in the Shastras. Means his conditioned nature has been dealt with in a more systematic way, you know, recognized and dealt with. While mm-hmm. in the house, it's a little less systematic, mm-hmm. and it also has a tendency to, you know, you bring out more the biological aspect becomes very predominant, mm-hmm. you know, and so then the attachments that go along with that. Mm-hmm. So it's. That's okay, but it depends how they want to become very great. Then it's generally recommended that the parental ras at an earlier age takes on a structured format and a little more formality. Mm-hmm. So then they get that nourishment they need, you know, the physical and emotional nourishment, but it's coming in a structured way in line with training and in line with their future activities. While they stay in the house, they will get the sentiment of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're Kshatriyas, we do like this, and we don't do like that. But it still leaves a lot for one's own mind's interpretation of this. You know, how the child likes, doesn't like. Rather than, you know, bringing back the origin of the Shastra. Mm-hmm. It means the parents were given many times the applied, but you also have to know the root, which is the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, so that comes out stronger. That's the predominance when they're with the teacher. Mm-hmm. On the home, then the applied will be more the predominance. That's if the parents are conscious of it, if they're good. If they're not, it'll simply be just the appreciation of the exchange between just parent and child, and which doesn't doesn't have a form other than just the kind of mutual satisfaction and mm-hmm. you know, physical well-being, emotional well-being. So it stays very much down on anamoy, pranamoy, like that. The parents are more trained, then they'll bring in the aspects of manamoy mm-hmm. more strongly. Mm-hmm. But then it's only when they go to the Gurukul, then you can really bring out the aspects of vijnanamoy and anandamoy, mm-hmm. you know, because in the environment they'll be less attached. You know, means the opportunity is not there. The parental rasa is present, but the biological excuse to just, you know, not care for what the parents say due to familiarity is reduced, mm-hmm. like that. So here we have this. So Kshatriya will become more powerful and Vaishya longs for success in his business in the eighth. So the start, because then they have the sense control. Because without sense control, you can't run a kingdom and you can't do business. The big businessmen are more sense controlled, and smaller businessmen are not, because they'll spend their money. Well, the big one won't spend, you know, like that, because they have to put more time, more energy, more thought. The mind must be more fixed. If the mind is more scattered due to, you know, family attachments, then you can't concentrate on the business or the management so well, or on the scriptures. You know, so the businessman is able to really just concentrate. That light means it's about to die.
No, the light is okay.
Okay. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
It means there's the connection there. So the Karmakandis will just look at it that, okay, I want to be successful in business, so I'll send my kid to the Gurukul earlier. But the reason he's more successful is because he has more sense control and has more knowledge. So therefore he behaves better and he's able actually to express his nature better. He's able to engage his Vaishya nature better than someone who's just sat at the house and just ate, you know, parathas and achar for 11 years, and then goes to the Gurukul. I think he goes earlier than that. This means that they go earlier and they stay the normal amount of time. Then the one goes later and stays. Means generally they would cut off when they become adult. Mm-hmm. So in the Vedic thing, that would mean 16. Mm-hmm. I've generally seen in the modern application, it's about 2 years later. Mm-hmm. In general, the you see the maturity that you would expect at 16, it comes at 18, mm-hmm. like that. So it would be, so you're looking at that. So they would go like this, 11 or something like that, and then graduate at 16, 18, and then get into the business. Mm-hmm. Or they would start earlier, start when they're 7, and then graduate when they're, you know, 16, 18. Mm-hmm. So the time is more in the Gurukul. They mm-hmm. learn more, they have more training, it becomes more like part of them, like that. One may argue, well, if that graduation, which is 2 years delayed, then naturally you'd want to delay these others. In certain ways, yes, because how much they can absorb and all that, that is a serious consideration, maturity. Mm-hmm. But you do have the you know, undeniable cutoff point of puberty, mm-hmm. which they hit at 12. So if they haven't been in the Gurukul before that, and the teacher can develop relationship with them mm-hmm. like that, then the difficulty comes is then at that time of puberty, then it's very difficult, especially if the boy's never been in a Gurukul, mm-hmm. you know, in that kind of situation, to actually be able to come in line with him, mm-hmm. like that. The boy would have to be more special. So you may run the risk of the boy doesn't actually adjust in the Gurukul, so they don't have to remain in the home. So then technically he doesn't actually become a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Brahmin. Mm-hmm. He's actually a Shudra by training. He may do business, but his outlook and his dealings are going to be like a Shudra. You won't have that depth, mm-hmm. you know. So one runs risk in that way. One runs risk. So that is fixed, you know. And in fact, in the Kali Yuga, if they're not trained properly, to train properly, then the puberty happens at that time. Mm. But if it's not, we see in the as the Kali Yuga progresses, that goes back and back and back. Mm-hmm. Where it mentions that girls would be mothers at 5 and boys would be fathers at 6. You know, so that means that if they're already mothers and fathers, means a year before that they've already conceived the child. Right? So it gets a little wild. It means you're an old man at 20. You know, mm-hmm. 20, I mean, you're like, you know, one of the elders of the community. You know, if you last that long. You know? So it means you'll be a grandparent by the time you're 11. You know? So that's Kali Yuga. So that marches back. Mm-hmm. But so that's a serious cutoff point. If one understands education, one understands psychology of the children, one takes that point very seriously. Mm-hmm. See, what happens is that through 10, then the mother is able to relate very nicely with the child. 10 years old is like the pure devotee age. Mm-hmm. They're very, very nice. They relate with adults nicely. You'll see they can chant 16 rounds. So whatever the adults are doing that they project externally as their values, they'll take it up. Mm-hmm. And they'll do it, and they're able to. They're very, very nice at that point. Mm. So generally, we see this time 8 to 10 is very, very valued by, especially the mothers, because mm-hmm. they're so wonderful at that time. They really want to, you know, get the most out of the taste. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they can taste that, but then comes the bitter, right? Mm-hmm. Mode of passion. It's nice in the beginning and bad at the end. Then when the kid hits 11, then we see that the mother loses that control of the child, and that's very traumatic for them. Mm-hmm. And then it's the father only who can actually bring in the control. Mm-hmm. So then already then the relationship goes, and as the years go, it just goes more and more and more. Mm-hmm. You know, especially the odd years. 11 goes and 13 goes really wild, 15 even more wild than that. 17, they're trying to figure out where they are in the universe, like that. And then around 19, they start to hit ground again. So the thing is that that's the time when the teacher has to deal. Mm-hmm. The mother can't deal, the father can't deal. They can, they may feel they can deal, mm-hmm. like that, but anyone who is informed knows they can't. Mm-hmm. It means in the Vedic age, even the most qualified teachers, like Bharadvaj and Raibya and these, they would never dream of training their own child in these ages. They'll always send it to another gurukul, though they run their own and they're famous. You know, mm-hmm. kings go to them for training. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, the demigods call it, but they won't train their own child because mm-hmm. they know that the familiarity will not allow them to get the best out of it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they'll send, you know, so like in this case, Raibya and Bharadvaj, their ashrams were close to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, Raibya sends his son to be trained by Bharadvaj, Bharadvaj by Raibya, mm-hmm. like that. And it's not that, well, they're close to each other, so therefore they can see their son often. No, because once they go to the Gurukul, they just live there. Mm-hmm. In the Vedic concept, there is no vacation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go there for full training, you live there for that long. Mm-hmm. You know, and we see that like in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya and that, then they would go and live in the house of the teacher, but for a specific purpose, like someone knows Sanskrit. So they go and live at the teacher's house for as long as it took to learn the Sanskrit. You know, so Lord Chaitanya learned that in 2 years. Then he goes back to the house. Then the next thing, he goes for alankar, or ornaments, like that. You know, like poetry. Then he goes to someone else for 2 years and comes back and goes to the next. And then he goes to Advaitacharya to learn the Veda, like that, because he's Veda Panchanana. So that way that we get their subject from each. But you know, when you have persons like Bharadvaj, Raibya, they know everything. So you go to one teacher, he teaches everything. And so for that whole time, they don't go back to the house, like that. So that wasn't the thing. It was because they knew that they had respect for this other as a teacher. So then they would send.
Did the parents visit the ashram?
That can be done, but they can only then deal with it with the parents, because you're going from one. It's just like when the child is at the home, then with the parents' encouragement, then you relate with those who come from outside the family. So the same goes as when the child is in the Gurukul, then you relate to the parents when the teachers say now is the time. Like if a lesson's going on and the parents happen to come, it's not that the kid just gets up and leaves because his parents are there. No. Unless the teacher says you go, if it's an important thing, you finish the lesson. Mm-hmm. Then after that you go. Because the emphasis in the parental ras is now with the teacher. Mm-hmm. And then when they finish the education, then it goes back to the parents. But, you know, so then the teacher becomes a guest in the house. Mm-hmm. But when the child is with the teacher, he's in the Gurukul, he's in the teacher's house. The parents are guests, like that. So the biological, because here, the parents are the biological parents. Mm-hmm. But higher than the biological parents is the parents of knowledge. Mm-hmm. The teacher gives one birth into knowledge, birth into the Veda, you know. So it's a higher birth. So of the parents, he's actually more respectable than the biological parents. So when it comes to the two, then that's important. Then higher than that is the one who gives spiritual birth, the dvija. That's the most of all of them. And then there's it, because they all have the welfare of the child in mind. Therefore, they work very, very nicely. Like you see in India, those parents were trained nicely. They have such respect for the teacher that the student has to come up to the standard of the teacher. If the student doesn't like it, he's been at the house, he's not used to, you know, concentrating and being regulated and disciplined, and he doesn't like it and he wants to go back home to his mother, you know. Somebody is so nice. What are you talking about?
Parents respect the teacher.
Yeah, so then it would be the child wants to come home, and the parents would say no. He says, you know, you're going now for a higher purpose. We've taught you how much we can. Now you must continue that with the teacher. And so they won't allow that the student just, you know, runs away from him because he's not used to the discipline and not used to the, you know, concentrating his mind and focusing his mind and being regulated. You know, at the home he's used to eating 20 times a day. You know, now he eats in the breakfast and he eats lunch and he eats in the evening and like that. So it's regulated, you know. So then the parents say, no, this is what you should do. Like that, and you see with nice. I've seen it time and time again. You know, like that. This is just the common element of very, very educated families. Mm-hmm. Like that. It means the parents have already checked to see if the teacher is what they want, and once they've decided this is, then they put the child there. Then, if the child has problems and the teacher, you know, has a different opinion, they take the teacher's opinion. Mm-hmm. You know. Like that. That's the thing, is they would check, just like they were mature in this, they would check and be convinced about guru. Mm. You know, it wasn't just sentiment they just took and then later on decided they don't like. Mm-hmm. Like that. They would be very mature in this. So the whole thing was, you see in it, the whole thing, the marriage, you know, which will come up, but, you know, as we've discussed in other Varnashram aspects, is that in marriage the whole thing is very, very sober. Preparing for marriage and in the training before marriage, very sober. Then the conception of a child is very sober, planned. Then the training of the child after that, you know, like that. And then finding a school, placing him in the school. And then after that he comes out and he's being part of the community. Like that. It's all, as you see, it's very sober. But the emotions and the experience and the realization on the spiritual platform all is much deeper. Mm-hmm. As you see, on the sensual platform, when it comes to taste, there's nothing as refined as Indian cooking, high-class Indian cooking, and all the different, you know, the spices and, you know, the cooking itself, the means of service, how it's served on, you know, and then after the meal, the different things and, you know, the scents when it comes to incenses and smells and oils. I mean, even the best Western perfumes, they still have many elements of sandalwood oil and this and that from India. you know, like that. I mean, it's just the sense go like that. Looking, the fineness of the architecture, the carving, and, you know, I mean, you see the you know, the cloth, and the women's saris, I mean, the designs and all that, unlimited designs, like that, you know. And like that, and you know, it's just they know it means their systems knowing how to take care of the skin, mm-hmm. you know, and all these. It means they just know it's so much more refined. Ayurveda. The Ayurveda, everything's more refined, like that. So if one understands that, means the sensual platform is so much more refined, mm-hmm. and that's because of following the culture. Mm-hmm. So, and we see the philosophy is the most refined. Mm-hmm. So that naturally would mean that the emotional experience is more refined and deeper, mm-hmm. and like that. Mm-hmm. This is the point that many miss. Mm-hmm. They think because of restriction there can't be any emotion. Like that. Emotion just must be wild and free. Mm-hmm. But that is not actually emotion, that's sub-emotion. That's just something happens, I get angry, you know, I see a, you know, see something and I want and I just want it, mm. you know, or, you know, the boy and girl see each other and then, you know, they experience something or, you know, you're tired, you just sleep, you know, it's just animal life. Mm-hmm. So one understands that what the animals experience and all that is not very refined, like that. So the whole, the whole, how do you say? So due to the restriction, it's finer, right? The restriction on the senses, like architect, I can put together a house in, you know, like, you know, an afternoon if I just find some old pieces of wood and a, you know, a tarpaulin and throw a rubber tire on the top, you know, and I got a nice Calcutta busty, you know, like that. It didn't take much. And I want to build a temple, you know, like Govindji took 20 years. So, which is more refined, right? So, what is the because the one is the constraint is there because of the restriction, and then restriction even in just what designs you can, how it's used, then the vastu aspects of it, and all these different things, you know, its purposes, you know, like that. So then, because of those restraints, and it becomes more, more.
Manjay's gonna go and cut grass.
With the lawnmower. Okay. He'll keep his toes out of the machine.
I hope so.
Maybe you should just go instruct him in the finer details of pushing a lawnmower. Make sure that no undue damage takes place. Then, so that restriction. On the plat, but come back, huh? That restriction then creates finer sensual, like a very special recipe. It takes longer and more detail to do, and it must be more exact, so it comes out nicer, right? You know, like that. If I just take a you know, a green papaya with its skin on and everything, and throw it in a hole, and throw it in a pot and boil it, it's subji, it's edible, but you know the sensual experience and refinement that is there is less, right? But now if I go through the restriction of peeling it, cutting it, you know, washing it, and then, you know, putting some spices and other things and all that, the experience is much, much greater, you know? Is that understood?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we see in the philosophy, if we don't speculate, then you can get to the highest platform. You speculate, you get to a lower platform. You don't really bother with philosophy at all, you get to even lower than that, karmakanda. You deal with the philosophy, but you allow speculation, you get into jnanakanda. You know, you don't allow any speculation, then you get into the spiritual realm. Then in that, you restrict it even more, is that you don't allow the you know, the five kinds of liberation, then you can get into Vrindavan, right? So the restriction is greater, so you get the higher philosophical understanding. So in the same way as you restrict the externals, the emotional experience is greater, like that, and extended over a longer period of time, like that. So these rules and ensure that whole level. Like that. If you follow the spiritual nicely, you follow the culture, which gives rise to the emotional platform, the material emotional platform. You follow that properly, that gives rise to the sensual platform. But if you just follow the sensual platform, which is the modern concept, it does not give rise to emotions or spirituality. Because if the emotions were deep, why do marriages fall apart? Because there are no emotions. They didn't experience emotions. They experienced hormones. Mm-hmm. They didn't experience emotions. Or they had their agenda that they wanted, and that's what they expected they would get out of it. Mm-hmm. You know. And so when they found that they didn't get that, then it breaks off. So the emotions weren't actually there. Otherwise, how does it happen? Right? If emotional exchange is deep, why anybody would go away? Mm-hmm. You can't go away. Because that's what one's looking for in a marriage. Or in a friendship. Or between parents and child. Or, a leader and a follower. You're looking for that exchange, that bonding. Like that. So that it can break up so easily means there was no real bonding in the first place. They thought there was, but that was just attachment. Right? But attachment can come on the sensual platform, the pranamaya platform. It wasn't on the duty platform. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the duty platform, it wouldn't go away. Mm-hmm. That's why the Vedas have to speak so strongly against householder life. It means it glorifies it because it has its purpose. And most are into getting married. So you don't have to convince people to get married. Right? But when they follow it nicely, then the experience is so intense, you have to come in like a thunderbolt to break that attachment. Mm. Right? So that their intelligence works and they know, okay, it's time to give it up. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the scriptures are so harsh on this. But that's for a marriage working nicely. If the marriage is not working nicely, you just have to come in and sneeze and it falls, and the guy walks out the door, you know? You know? You understand this point? Because otherwise, see, what happens is, like in the Bhagavatam, it gives all these heavy statements about grihastha life. So then, many times that'll be used by swamis and brahmacharis, you know, to just kind of write off the whole institution. But that's not what it's for. It's for those who go into it, go in with knowledge, and aren't an illusion, that they're going to find something that's not there. Right? That the depth of what they think they're going to find, it's not actually there. Because the real depth of exchange that we're looking for is the spiritual platform, like that. So we go into it and kind of consider that it's the spiritual aspect is there. You see, the materialists, they think that a deep emotional relationship is spiritual. So for the karmi, who is interested in spiritual things, he takes the sensual platform as the sensual platform, right? He takes pranamoy, which is the sub-emotional platform, as the pure emotional platform. Mm-hmm. And he takes manamoy, which is the emotional platform, you know, as the spiritual platform. Mm-hmm. Right? Hmm. Like that. So the New Age, all this and that, they think the mind and all that, that's spiritual. You know? And they take all their, all the, animal rights and the greenies and, all this kind of stuff, That is like the emotional platform. And then the senses, and they also naturally, because all this is down, their sensual platform is also quite low. Their experience. You understand this point? So this is, they misconstrue and they leave out the other side that we're not the body and this and that. So that's why the Shastras talk is because that side must be seen. Otherwise you'll drop it right down and think the emotional is spiritual. But the living entity needs a spiritual experience. Therefore, it's being so heavily put that the spiritual experience is not there. The great attachment we have in the Grihastha Ashram, that's not the real attachment. The real attachment has to be to Krishna. And this conditional attachment is there enough to make it work. But slowly, slowly, we have to see that even that is not the real attachment. You know, the real attachment, the positive attachment for husband and wife, or the parent and the child, the student teacher, is that the performance of the prescribed duties for the purpose of pleasing the Lord, and doing that service together. Right? So actually the aspect is satsang, is the real point. You see this there? But one will experience the emotional and the sensual platform in doing that. Right? And then at one point, once that becomes satisfied, and one can start to see the difference between spiritual attachment and material attachment, you know, with that experience. You've learned the knowledge before as a brahmachari, then you practice it as a grihastha and see, yes, there is a definite difference, like that. Then, in vanaprastha sannyas, then the concentration goes on to the spiritual attachment, like that, and endeavoring to experience that. You know, like that. It's there all the way through, but it's just where the emphasis is. Just like I mentioned, the parental ras, where the emphasis is. You know, like that. Like if the parents take their child and then they go before the king, you know, then the king's parental ras takes prominence at that time. They can't just be, you know, just ignore the king and just deal with their child. No, they have to, all three of them have to be respected the king, because the king is the parent over, they're the children of the king. So their parental ras becomes subservient to the parental ras of the king. You know, them as children of the king. Like that. So, in other words, the subtleties, first one must understand the rasa itself and attachment. Then one must understand the refinement within that. Then you get down to the Vedic culture. The difficulty with understanding the Vedic culture is it's refined. It's not just something you read a few lines and okay, that's it, you know. The guy is intellectual. Okay, he's a Brahmin. Oh, he's, you know, totally in the mode of passion and fights with everyone. Oh, must be a Kshatriya. You know, he's a total greedy, you know, materialist. Oh, must be a Vaishya. Oh, and he's a disgusting, you know, just nasty, what do you call it, slovenly, you know, pig. So he must be a Shudra. Okay, very easy, I understand Varnasha. You know, okay, what does that take? Yeah, 20 seconds? Okay. You know, okay, now off to, you know, establish, you know, what do you call it? Organize the world, you know. The whole thing is that it's so refined. I mean, I've had arguments for hours with people that they don't believe that the relationship between the teacher and the student can be in any way in the realm of parental rasa. You know, only if you have a biological kid it can be. But if you look at it, even then, what about people who adopt children? They can have the rasa. So that actually is in the realm of nurse. You know? Nurse or other. Well, everyone will accept the eight kinds of mothers, but then what does that mean? That's a parental rasa. You know, but the problem comes in is the father. You know? You know, but the father is there. All these. That's why it says, don't become a mother, a father. You know? Guru. Worshipable deity. King. Because it's all parental rasa. The prachetas, they come out of the water, right? And then they see that the whole planet, they weren't meditating in the water? And then they come out and see the whole planet's been overgrown by trees. So then how will people farm and, you know, because the whole Vedic culture is based on, you know, the agrarian lifestyle. So there's no place for the cows to graze, you know, there's trees, there's no grass underneath. So there's no, you know, no grass. You can't grow things, so how will the humans survive? So because they're their children, then immediately they start burning the trees. So as a king, then that parental ras makes them do that. Then Soma, who's in charge of the trees, because he controls the sap, then his parental ras comes, don't burn all the trees, you know, cool down here, I'll give you my daughter, you know, just, you know, shanti, shanti, you know, like that. And so then, you see, it's all parental rasa. Like that. So it's there with the teacher. That's the meaning of Guru Kula. If we say, well, we haven't seen it, but that doesn't mean that's not the thing. I can also say, well, I've seen, at least in the West, I've seen very few what I would call parental rasa, like I've seen in India. I see millions of them in India. But I've seen very few in the West. You know, fully, nicely, you know, like that. I remember seeing one on the farm, the Cessnock farm. Like that, one lady there with three kids. She could listen to a class, full concentration, and take care of three kids. One who's, you know, can't even walk yet, you know. Another one who's like three or four, another one who's about six. Kids don't talk, don't cry, you know. And she's fully taking care of them. At the same time, she's just looking at the speaker and hearing anything. And when you ask for questions, she's asking intelligent questions that have something to do with the class and are naturally in the way of applying what you said. That's a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And in the West, I haven't seen another one. You know, I haven't seen everywhere. But, you know, I move around India, I see mothers all the time. But I've moved around the West, I haven't seen that level of mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see bits of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, some part of it, you know, everywhere, you know, like that. But to that degree, where you have that degree of expertise,
mm-hmm.
I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, so it's just... Let me see. So So one must understand the broadness of the whole picture. Then it becomes very, 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 very much easier to understand the whole Vedic culture, because you have to be able to enter it. What's the philosophy behind it? Because the philosophical platform is the ultimate platform of rasa.
Yeah.
What is the emotional? What is happening emotionally between the people? In the relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, on that platform. And then you have to understand sensually what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So when one can see all these three, you know, and then one can see their connections, the senses and the mind connect at pranamaya. You know, the mind and the spiritual connect at the sandhi is the vijnanamaya,
mm-hmm.
the intelligence. You know, because it still has the rules and regulations, you know, of the vijnanamaya. I mean, of the jnanamaya. You know, and it has the some spiritual understanding that we're soul and all that, and there's something higher. But it doesn't go into the realm of ananda.
Mm-hmm.
So the rasa is restrained. You know, it's not very deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in between the two. But it has elements of both, you know? So that's why we jnana is part of the devotional process, because it's that connection that gets us to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, and then the Brahma-Bhuta platform bhava then is the step between that gets us into prema, which is the pure anandamoy, right? And then on the what do you call it? And then the whole varna ashram and sadhana bhakti and all that is the platform where we're basically using heavily the karma aspect,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the jnana, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To the degree of the jnana you can apply into that degree of generally the advancement. Because Krishna Prabhupada says jnana and vairagya, you can tell the advancement.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. After that, then it's how much prema is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you see mm-hmm. that link?
Yeah.
That means so. That means that's why Prabhupada calls the Brahmavadis or like that. They are transcendentalists, but they're not counted in amongst the eternal transcendentalists because it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's still dharma, artha, kama, moksha. It's
mm-hmm.
still within the material concepts,
mm-hmm.
like that, because it is the bridge between dharma, artha, and kama. You know, like that. You give liberation, it's moksha, but it still doesn't get you into the spiritual realm.
Mm.
That's prema.
Mm.
That's ananda. You see that point? Yeah. Like that. So it's not full tasting. You're not tasting really, you don't taste the material, but you haven't fully tasted the spiritual. So it's very restricted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then between the senses and the mind, you have pranamoy. So you've restricted the senses a little bit, so you're not really... experiencing that, you know, it's everybody else's senses you're worried about. But because if it's not based on dharma,
mm.
you know, it's on the sub-religious principles of just justice and morality and this. So the emotional platform also is not tasted that strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some. You get a little bit. There's a touch of the emotional and a touch of the sensual.
Mm.
But it's not fully either.
Mm.
right? So it's also constrained. That's why when they get into the emotional platform, you know, then they think it's such a great thing. Or when they get into the senses, it's such a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but actually the great thing is to get into the ananda mind.
Mm.
Because then that's the full spiritual experience where the senses and the emotions are totally spiritual. Right? Well, in the material, then the senses and the emotions are material that one's experiencing. But if they're in connection with Krishna and Dharma, then that experience is actually purifying. That's why it says the for the grihastha, the senses into the sense objects. You know, because it's a sacrifice that because they're doing it for the Lord. But doing for the Lord means they're doing according to the Lord's rules. You can't just say, yes, I'm doing for the Lord and not follow Krishna's rules. That's just lip service. Like that, you know. We're talking about reality is what it's doing. You know, we see Prajapati Daksha, his, you know, means his service to God is having children. But we see that he does austerity and all that and offers the, what is it, Hamsadwani prayers? Or
Hamsaguhi
prayers. Like that, as he sees what he's doing in relationship to the Lord. Therefore he's born as the son of Brahma. Otherwise he wouldn't. Like that. They're on the platform that they're above the you know, specific attachment to sense gratification for sense gratification's sake. That's that the end of the line is Indra. He's top of the line of those who are interested in sense gratification. Like that. The heavenly planets on down. But then with, you know, Janaloka, that's where the Prajapatis stay. So then they're experiencing this higher. They're grihasthas, they populate the universe, but that's their duty. So they're attached to the duties of that,
mm-hmm.
and the emotional platform of, you know, having populated the universe,
mm-hmm.
and having the praja like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the sensual side of it like Indra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Indra just sees a good-looking girl and he goes after her, you know, Gautama's wife Ahalya.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no need to do that. I mean, he has so many, you know, nice ladies. Like that, and he has his own wife, and they're all very qualified. But he just sees some skin, and he gets overly fired up, you know, because he's still attached to that. But you don't see that happen with the Prajapatis. You don't hear the Prajapatis running off with each other's wives and this and that. That's all, isn't it? It's all happening lower than that. It's not happening with them because that's not their thing, you know. So, like for Kasyapa with Diti, that was a fall down, actually. Fall down from their platform,
mm-hmm.
because he didn't follow the religious principles.
Mm-hmm.
He'd warned his wife, but you know the whole thing is one can fall from his position. Like we see Brahma, you know, he's Brahma because of his purity and piety and you know realization. But somehow or another, his senses, fixed on his daughter. He went running after his daughter. You know, and then the Kumaras and Narad Muni and all that came to him and said, this is not, you know, this is not proper. And then immediately, oh yes, and then, you know, gave up that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that there may not be problems, but you'll see that that's not their focus, that's not their
mm-hmm.
purpose. But Indra is the taste, I'm the king of the universe, I have all the sense gratification, you know. So he tastes the greatest amount of material, you know, for material's sake. You know, control and enjoyment, you know? So that's why he does so many crazy things. But he's not the top. His enjoyment's not the greatest. Better, more than him is Brihaspati.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than Brihaspati is the Prajapatis.
Mm-hmm.
More than them is the same thing, Brahma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get into, then there's the Brahman, enjoyment of Brahman, and then that's just a drop. A fraction of a portion of the drop on the shoreless ocean.
Mm.
Brahman is like an ocean, but it's got shores. It's measurable.
Mm.
But the bhakti, it's a shoreless ocean. The other side, there is no other side. You know this shore, because you know you're not in the ocean. You're standing on the ocean, you know, on the bank. And but then you have to dive in and become like sharks. You go deep, you know. They're, you know, sharks are very comfortable moving around in the ocean. They're not afraid of anybody, you know. So they're very comfortable moving the ocean of bhakti like that. There's no, they don't have any, you know, fears or anything. They're just totally absorbed, you know. Okay. Okay. Then the time for Savitri initiation of a brahmana does not pass until the completion of the 16th year after conception. It means during his, after conception, means within his 15th year. By the end of his 15th year, if he hasn't gotten upanayanam, then he's considered Vijabandhu. Like that. It says, for a kshatriya until the completion of the 22nd, and of a vaishya until the completion of the 24th. So then in this, then we would put the emphasis on the brahminical, because as Vaishnavas, when the brahminical understanding becomes the main thrust. We may take the occupational duties of kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, but our culture is that of the brahmins. Like that. And so.
Now, I understand more about Vasudevs being worried about Krishna and Balaram.
Yeah, they haven't had upanayana. Because it's getting late, because when he came, he was already 10 years, 8 months.
Right.
So for a kshatriya, 11 with 11, and that's it. You know, so it's like he gets anxiety. Otherwise, it will not be good. It means he can go stretch beyond that, but then people start to complain. You know, you missed the earliest one, now you missed the second one. You're going to go for one that's like, you know, end of the line, or, you know, so. Yeah, it's a very, very good point. So Vasudeva is very good. Then 39, after those periods of men, these three varnas who have not received the sacrament at the proper time become vrapyas, outcasts, excluded from the Savitri initiation and despised by the Aryans. Because it means they never became qualified. That means they're never going to be able to understand spiritual subject matter. So it's just like, you know, they become dvijabandhus. They're not appreciated by anybody. So it's the point is that, in other words, by these times one should become serious about spiritual life, you know, like that. Now this is not that someone who comes to Krishna consciousness later, that's another thing. This is for someone who's growing up through the system. This would be more applicable to, you know, second generation and like that. But this is why also that we don't give upanayanam to older people, because it seems to be a quick way to get people to do deity worship. You know, it's not a thing, because they actually have to have the qualifications. You know, they have to have the qualifications. While we're working on for adults is they become qualified by chanting the holy name. So from that side, if they're not coming into the qualification from the Vedic side, they're coming in from the Bhagavat side, then the Pancharatrik, then they get the Brahma Gayatri. Like that. If they want to come the other way, then they already have to come with brahminical qualifications. And they're not. They're not. Means that what they're talking about here, you don't find devotees joining with that. You know? Maybe very rare, but it's just not, it's not the system. Someone who's that qualified anyway, within a year or two, will be, have second initiation anyway. You know, the problem comes is you have all these, you know, eternal new bhaktas and this and that, and no one do the puja. So, well, if we give them one upanayanam, but then it's not initiation, and so then, you know, I don't get the reaction there, but then they can worship the deity and all this and that. That's what they think. They misconstrue. But that, it means if they don't qualify for first initiation, an adult does not qualify for upanayanam. You know, he does not. Because they actually have to manifest brahminical qualities. Otherwise, the mantra won't work. It just won't work. Hare Krishna will work, whatever you are. Even if you're an animal, it'll work. But the Gayatris won't work unless you have brahminical nature. As Prabhupada mentioned, even it's not that everybody has to get second initiation. That means if they don't have the qualification, brahminical qualifications, means that the culture, they shouldn't get. This shouldn't just be you need a cook or this or that. So this is a scheduled class, Maharaj. This is the normal one. He was impressed that yesterday we started this class and yakked all the way through till 6 o'clock in the evening. For unfortunately, I wasn't impressed. Okay. It says 40. No, just all devotees from the seminar come and they want to ask their personal questions that sometimes have nothing to do with anything and drive you absolutely mad, like that. Then 40. With such men, means those who are dvija bandhus, if they have not been purified according to the rule, let no brahmana ever, even in times of distress, form a connection either through the Veda or by marriage. So a brahmana should never even deal with such people. He should never train them in the Veda, accept them in the Gurukul, and he should never marry into their families. You know, either his son marries into their, or their daughter marries into his family, because the qualification is so different. The Brahmin will never be able to relate. Mm-hmm. The Brahmin has to be able to relate on the platform of Vedic philosophy, culture, and all this. Kings can relate with them because they have to rule them, and they're dealing with much lower class than this. You know? Mm-hmm. And that means here, dvija bandhu generally means they have the brain of a dvija, but the culture of a shudra lower. Like that. So it's very dangerous. Because a shudra has a shudra brain and shudra culture. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to deal with. Mm-hmm. Because it's balanced. It's natural. Mm-hmm. You know, they have an artist brain and artist culture. And you know how they're going to act. Mm-hmm. So you can protect them. You can encourage them. You can engage them. Right? And everybody will be satisfied. But a dvija bandhu, he has the brain of a dvija. But he has the culture of someone who's fallen, you know. So generally lower than a shudra. So then you don't know how it's going to work. So you talk to them. What you see is not what you get. So it's very dangerous. Very dangerous. You know, you
snake with poison.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that. It's very dangerous. You see in your modern history that all of your these philosophers, you know, we were just discussing, you know, Sartre and Nietzsche and all these things, they make up these weird, wild philosophies. You know? I mean, just completely degraded philosophies. You know, Sartre was, if you kill all the intellectuals, then all the, you know, all the shudras, just by their simplicity, will just by instinct just behave properly. So, Pol Pot took that, killed, you know, 2-3 million people just based on this philosophy. Because he went to the university that, you know, specialized in his philosophy. Means Sartre in his day was a professor at that university. Mm-hmm. You know? And then, Wagner. Yeah. You know, he was a musician, but he had this idea of white supremacy. You know, his idea of, you know, physical Aryanism, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and you know that was became popular in Germany, and Hitler took that up along with Nietzsche, and that put that all together, and you came up with the Nazi thing. So because of these bad, unqualified, you know, supposed Brahmins, like that, they dream up stuff that's like even the you know, lowest class, you know, unqualified person wouldn't be able to dream up. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's very dangerous. So Kshatriyas can keep them in line, Vaishyas can engage them in so many things to make profit, like that. You know, so that's not a problem. Mm. But the Brahmin should never have anything to do with them, because the Brahmin can't, he himself personally won't be able to relate or train or teach such a person, and it'll be very painful for them. So they shouldn't do that. Okay, so that ends this section on initiation and the timing of it and that. Mm-hmm. Then next we go into now how the brahmachari lives like that. So we'll continue that then tomorrow. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.